The Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency is thinking small. In seeking the next generation of technologies and the companies that invent them, it's not focusing on the standard defense industrial base. Virginia venture capitalist Jonathan Aberman was on a roadshow with DARPA and Arlington County officials. He explains the new model for generating future government contractors.
One of the programs that we've been working with is a really innovative one that DARPA is doing around robotics. It's called the Robotics Fast Track. It's a really interesting template and one that I'll talk a bit more about as we go along. We were out in California and Washington State. We helped do five events in 3 days up and down the West Coast. We actually brought our friends from Arlington County along so they could pitch how great it would be to do business in the region. And the program is designed to reach entrepreneurs, garage inventors by providing them with $100,000 to $150,000 grants in a very efficient and quick way. It's a highly unique program. And frankly, the response was exceptional. We saw hundreds of non-traditional performer entrepreneurs. The program saw approaches to robotics they hadn't seen before, was highly successful. And there's a lot of learning to be done by it.
Now, this was in Silicon Valley?
So we did an event in Seattle, Washington. We did three in the Bay Area. We did one in Silicon Valley. We also did San Francisco and the Livermore Labs over in the East Bay, and then an event in San Diego.
And you had DARPA people with you?
Well, yeah, because we were promoting the DARPA program. This was all about DARPA and the Robotics Fast Track program. So they had the program manager lead and the contractual support. Our role in tandem is to be the connector, the network operator, and that was our role here. You know, we organized the events relatively quickly. It came together over a two-week period. And the lessons that we learned from it, frankly, are very useful, which is if you give entrepreneurs and garage inventors access to national security R&D opportunities in a language and in a manner that they can appreciate, they will respond avidly. We had over 600 people show up at these events. It was very, very successful. And I think that it is a good lesson, not just for how you can go out to the West Coast, but, you know, we're doing an event on Wednesday and the 15th here for the Robotics Fast Track program at Tech Shop. And then on the 17th, we're doing one up in Boston as well. It's just one template. The model here, Tom, that's really important is what DARPA did with a subcontractor called BIT Systems is they figured out how to use a standard GSA contract to then let BITs provide very, very efficient short contracts for entrepreneurs to provide R&D where the subcontractor, the entrepreneurs, don't become FAR-based contractors. They don't have to worry about FAR contracting. They have to worry about a very limited number of things. It's highly, highly attractive, and it's very replicable. You know, there are many other agencies now that are interested in this model. I think we have half a dozen agencies coming to the event on Wednesday to check it out. The White House is interested in it, and they should be. It's a great template.
And so the entrepreneurs that you spoke with, they don't have a problem with the DoD mission, which is military in carrying out the possible destruction of an enemy.
Yeah.
But it's the contracting system and the way the government is bureaucratic that's more daunting to them than the mission?
I think that there are a number of lessons to be learned. The first one is there are always going to be people that will self-select out of working with the Department of Defense for philosophical reasons. There are undoubtedly are people who, for example, won't work in cybersecurity areas because of the Edward Snowden situation. But the reality is that most entrepreneurs care most of all about doing something that is going to advance their commercial interests or do something that they think is going to be impactful. And if the national security establishment, through programs like Robotics Fast Track and others, gives entrepreneurs and garage inventors access to capital so they can build a commercial product, if it has the ancillary benefit of providing the DoD with technology the DoD can use for national missions, it's okay with them. That's what we're seeing. And again, just to be clear, the Robotics Fast Track program is, in my opinion, a very, very good template. But there are other things we've done with Tandem NSI, with organizations like CITSA, Counterterrorism Tactical Support, with DHS and others. When you are willing as a national security agency to reduce your R&D needs to bite-sized nuggets that entrepreneurs and garage inventors can ingest, you can get people engaged. We're seeing it clearly more and more every month with Tandem NSI.
And as a practical matter, what about the clearance issue for these entrepreneurs and small companies?
Well, again, we're talking in this conversation, we're not talking about acquisition reform. We're not talking about being downstream in bombers. We're talking about R&D and science technology. What I have seen, and a number of the agencies we're talking with, you can denude the requirements of the specific national security issues. You can effectively clean it up so that you're providing a need state or providing an R&D requirement that is not revealing of the true mission. And that's certainly something that agencies have always done with their SBIR applications and other R&D contracts. So it's not a big deal. Again, the key here is that what a lot of people have missed along the way is that it's not that garage inventors and innovators don't want to work in national security. It's that if you don't compete for their attention with the traditional places they go for help, which is angel capital and venture capital and just bootstrapping through commercial customers, if you don't compete with that by providing an alternative path that's as appealing, they won't pay attention. And it's a very simple lesson, and it's one that I think people are starting to pay attention to. I think the next 6 months are going to be a very, very important for the national security establishment. And also, I do want to mention for our region, what I learned by being out in Silicon Valley and by talking with people out there that are involved in the Pentagon's initiative is that if this region, if the Washington, D.C. region does not take seriously the Pentagon's need for the offset strategy.
Well, that was my next question, because Frank Kendall was in Silicon Valley a couple of weeks ago, outlined some of the things that they're looking for, robotics being big.
Right.
The other one was machine-human interaction and augmentation.
Machine-human interface. Yeah. Look, again, machine-human interface, robotics, cybersecurity, material science, big data. These are all areas of importance for the national security establishment. But here's a newsflash. They're also highly important for our industrial base and the 21st century industries we need to create employment. My belief is that the Washington, D.C. business community underestimates this trend. And unless and until we really get after it, we run the significant risk that the federal government will pivot away from this region and go to places that get it. That's the bad news. The good news is that with organizations like Tandem and other efforts to going on in this community, I think we are doing a good job of explaining and becoming part of the solution. So, for example, we were in Silicon Valley. It is true. We were there with representatives from Arlington County who were able to talk about the region. But more importantly, we were there as a partner with the Pentagon's efforts so that as they continue to move forward, we have a place at the table as an organization has a national focus, but is based in the D.C. region. I think it's really important we knit this effort into our local economy to make sure that we don't get left behind and make sure that our innovators and entrepreneurs get the same opportunities for this big trend.
Because that type of innovation, that kind of inventiveness is not solely the province of the West Coast.
Absolutely not. First of all, it's national. You know, if you take yourself out of the national security establishment and just go and look at leading entrepreneurs in the community, for example, Steve Case, the founder of AOL, Steve does his Rise of the Rest tour around the country where he goes to communities where there aren't traditionally venture capitalists and finds great companies. He does that by putting his own money on the barrel. DOD should be doing the same thing. More narrowly, here in our region, there is no doubt in my mind, cybersecurity here, we are tremendous in it, but a lot of it is in services and solutions rather than product creation. Our product creation community is much more nascent. We need to make sure that we are doing the things necessary to compete in this new world. But the world's out there. It's happening. And yes, Ash Carter will always be interested. Frank Kendall will always be interested in the West Coast, as they should be, because there's a heavy concentration of product entrepreneurs. But in areas like personalized medicine, big data sciences, cybersecurity, and others, the reality is there's as much, if not more, talent here. And in other regions of the country, for example, robotics, they should be looking in Pittsburgh, for example, where Uber's made a big investment. National security is a national issue. Economic development and entrepreneurship is a national issue. I understand why Silicon Valley is located and is important because it's leading in many ways, but the Pentagon really should be looking everywhere.
Jonathan Aberman is founder of Amplifier Ventures and the nonprofit Tandem NSI. Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.